Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And James Kvasik.
Hey, James, you know, I'm glad I hit record because, you know, it's one of those things that's a danger if we keep talking about talking shop, basically, like we do. We miss a bunch of good stuff. So I wanted to tell you about a message I got just a couple days ago from, and I think it was one of our listeners. It might have been somebody just on the site that had a question for us. But they have a fleet of helicopters, and they were trying to set a reliability goal for that. And they started confusing, should it be flight time or should it be runtime of the rotors, the turbines, should it be calendar time, should it be, you know, how many sorties they get per month or week or whatever what they're doing. It was a military type aircraft, but I'm sure you've run into this in all kinds of different situations, not just with aircraft, but, you know, all kinds of vehicles have this dilemma. Even factory equipment, is it? Because things happen during startup, things happen during the runtime, the mission for this helicopter, things happen and fail during maintenance, inspections, and so on, take it down longer. But how do you deal with this when time is not always calendar time?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, I just want to clarify before we dive into the conversation a little bit further. So what they're looking for is measuring reliability over a period of time and not how to set up scheduling for preventative maintenance activities, stuff like that, correct?
The question was around setting a goal. I think it was the start of a project and they're working with a vendor and they want to set a reliability goal or a series of reliability goals. Now, the same discussion, though, I think applies if you're setting up in doing maintenance and measurements, is because what you track matters in both cases.
Yes, absolutely. Now, if we look at reliability from the definition standpoint, it's looking at mission time, right? It's going to operate over that mission. So from a reliability goal, if your typical sortie, for example, is 24 hours, for example, then maybe we should be looking at that. Now, but that is only the reliability of the asset when it's in operation. There's a lot of other considerations. How often is it available to be able to operate? What percentage of time is it ready to go at any given point of time? And that's when we look to something like availability.
Right.
While they're similar, they are different. So maybe there's a need for two different goals, one being availability, one being reliability. Now, if I think about the reliability piece, to me, that is flight time. Right, for a helicopter, for example.
Yeah, there's not a lot of rotor repairs during flight.
Exactly. If there is, there's a significant issue.
Yeah. You only get a few seconds, you know, the 30 seconds of the fall time to make the change.
Exactly. So if I'm thinking of time-based activities from a metric standpoint, then from reliability, I would say mission time. So whatever that typical mission time is, or whatever that maximum mission time is, let's use that as our basis for goal of reliability. Mm-hmm. Now, when you start looking at availability, that is calendar time based. So whether it's available to run or not when it's scheduled. And you can even take it a step further and look at something like uptime, if you will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how often is it up and ready to go at any given point of time? Availability is looking at when it's scheduled.
Right.
Versus what it's actually doing when it's scheduled. So taking out some of that maintenance, that planned maintenance time, that sort of stuff. Depending upon your definition, uptime may go a step higher, or if you're in an asset intensive industry, manufacturing, use something like TEEP, or total effective equipment performance, which includes how much time it's scheduled down, so on and so forth.
Right.
So I think depending upon their specific goals, they may need to use more than one to measure their success. It might be reliability. It might be availability. It might be something else that takes into consideration how much time do they lose for plan maintenance and so on and so forth.
Right. And for setting a goal like that, it helps then to if you set a reliability goal, which I agree for the flight or the sortie, that's the appropriate metric. If you want to have minimal maintenance, say for a week of sorties, then instead of one mission, it might be 10 missions that it's this class of material, like the radio systems and navigation systems and target acquisition systems should not have to have maintenance on them or repairs or replacements or anything, say for a month. And so the reliability duration would be longer then, right?
Yes.
And then the availability part of this might be over 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, but that's a metric that's tied more to mission readiness and utilization and all those exactly. other parts of it.
And the other piece too, if the concern is around maintainability, I know you're a big fan of the mean metrics.
Oh yeah, not really. Let's get out of that.
But mean time between maintenance might be something to consider looking at if you want to admit, if you're looking to measure how long you have to go between maintenance activities. While it's not perfect because it is a mean metric, it might give a basic understanding between how often do we actually have to perform preventative maintenance activities and how does mm-hmm. that relate to our reliability goal.
Yeah, I agree. Setting a goal, it starts to set the boundaries or constraints, because you can achieve very high availability if you just have it in repair, schedule it for repair and maintenance after every sortie, for example, and refurbish the whole thing. So you do a 2.5 hour flight and then you're in the shop for 6 days. If that's the plan, you know,
exactly.
It's a balance between the reliability of the various systems. You don't want to replace the nav system every week or every month. It's somewhere on the order of every few years at most. And that's probably because of technology updates, not because it wears out or fails. But that means the design has to account for that accumulated vibration, for example, over that period of time. So it's a message back to the team that this has got to be robust enough to be reliable over years. So I'm a big fan of, and my advice back on the question was, yeah, there is a mission time, and that's kind of important for the things that keep you flying, that they just don't fail. But you're not going to replace the gearbox every flight. So it also has to have a reliability target for how long before you want or should be able to afford to change that gearbox, which should yes. be years, right? It may need ongoing maintenance and lubrication and inspections and so on. But setting a goal for the mission time is appropriate. Setting a reliability goal, and it may be for different classes of parts and elements of your system, over the economic point when it makes sense to change these things, also makes sense. Because you can, and then availability goes to other business objectives. But it's in a system like a vehicle or a, you are going to do a lot of maintenance, but you don't want to do an excessive amount or try to push the reliability so high that it's technically difficult or impossible to achieve. So it's always going to be a balance. But having, instead of just saying, oh, it's got to be 99.99% reliable over a flight time, for example, or a run time for say a bottling plant, we're going to typically run a product for a week. It also is still there at the end of that week. And it's not like it's going to be brand new at the end of that week. So it's hit the different measures that are appropriate over time. And then as soon as you become a repairable system, availability very often is the better metric for a whole raft of different business objectives.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's important to understand if you're targeting that, say, 99% reliability over that mission time, what actually goes into that? So it's not just, like you said, that single, it's a single unit, but it's made up of all these different subsystems and components. So in order to understand that, you need to understand each of those major systems or components. So is there a reliability block diagram behind that that allows us to identify what are the main pieces that may prevent us from achieving that level of reliability?
That's right. Yeah. Now go back to the part of that question was, well, do I measure calendar time or flight time? Or I've seen it a lot of times, especially with big motors and pumps and stuff like that, is motor time or operating hours of that piece of equipment. My take on that is, my answer that I end up using way too often is, it depends. You know, how is this thing going to fail? And what's relevant? If it's something, you know, right? It may be a mixture of all those things, and in a lot of regards, you have to have some ways of doing conversion units between operating time and calendar time and number of cycles or starts or whatever is relevant to how you expect this thing to fail.
Absolutely. And typically there's a variety of different units used at the same time. Mm-hmm. Reliability would be based on flight hours. Availability would not be based on flight hours. So you need to understand, like you said, it depends on what you're measuring and what you're doing with it. Same goes for the PM approach. When you're managing your preventative maintenance routines or inspections and so on and so forth, generally it's not always just based on calendar time or just based on run hours or stuff of that nature. Generally, regulatory things are based on calendar time.
Right. It's just easy. It's convenient, I think, is exactly the problem with that.
Regardless of whether we run it 1 hour a year or we run it every hour of the year, generally regulatory says you're going to do it X amount of calendar time.
Right.
Now, if you look at like those, like compressors, for example, a lot of their maintenance is generally done on runtime hours, but you still have regulatory stuff behind that that is done on a calendar time. So it's not uncommon to see multiple different ways of setting up that PM program or triggering that PM program all for the same asset. And I think that's probably the best case because, like you said, how things fail is going to be very different. If I'm doing an inspection interval looking for a potential failure, even though that's on condition, so we're not going to make a repair until we find something, we will probably still base that either on some sort of that inspection on some sort of time frequency, whether it's flight hours, whether it's calendar time.
Right.
And the data and history will tell us typically what is better. If we're dealing with something that's environmental, for example, really hot, really dusty.
Or corrosion type things. Yeah. Then it's calendar time, right?
Exactly. But if there's other failures that are, you know, related to the engine or stuff like that, that might be better to look on flight hours.
That's right.
So
if you're getting wear, right, on a piston, or you're getting wear on a set of gears, and the other piece, what makes it complicated, I think, James, is that I'm thinking of vehicles like taxis, right? The passenger vehicles, the engines experience the bulk of their wear when there's no lubricant up into the engine and transmission and so on. So at startup, it gets so that if you're doing cold starts over and over again or every day, that's generally worse for the whole system than if you do hot starts every hour, right? So it's so dependent on the usage profiles and how it's used and the wear mechanisms. But setting up a goal to start, you know, if you got nothing else, it's calendar time. And then figure it out from there as you understand how things fail and what are the dominant drivers for the shortening of your life, such that you trigger the maintenance actions or you trigger repairs or replacements and so on.
Exactly. As you're going through the FMEA, you'll identify your failure modes, consequences, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to start to understand this is related to how often we start it up or do a cold start. This is related to how often this happens. Mm-hmm. And then you adjust your build your program accordingly. But like you said, calendar time is very easy to set up. It's fair. It's a good default to start with if you don't have any data.
Yeah. But the last part of that was he asked about throughput or, you know, the the performance measure based measurement of a system or an asset. And I hesitate with that one, and it may be relevant. It so much depends on how it's used. If you're running it at max load all the time and you have the option to back it off, I see that as a double-edged sword though, right? If I'm in a factory and I'm measuring throughput or production as my primary metric for the system, and I don't balance it with downtime or availability or the cost of maintaining it, for example, I get a behavior of just push it, just get as much out of it as we can.
Yes, and that's where metrics like OEE, overall equipment effectiveness, mm-hmm. or TEEP, totally effective equipment performance, those take into all those considerations. What's our run rate? Are we running at 80% or 100%? What's the quality defects? Those sorts of things, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to help measure the performance. But when you're trying to set up PMs based on that sort of stuff, you really have to understand the process. If you're handling a very abrasive fluid you're pumping, mm-hmm. you can probably link that to the throughput. But yeah. if it's generally not a wear mechanism that's failing, then it may not be the best approach.
That's right. It might be the number of restarts. Which,
exactly. Yeah,
just in order to, I've run into that with escalators. I mean, I've talked about those things before, is that it's when, you know, they would just go restart it and it would keep running. But then whatever was underlying the cause of the stoppage to start with would just continue to cause damage. And it was restart, more and more damage. And finally it failed hard and they had to go figure it out and do much more extensive repairs. But their motivation was uptime and keeping it running. And so if they could in 5 minutes do a quick safety check and restart it and walk away, it ran for an hour before it tripped again. And so they would get that extra hour that day out of it. And I was like, oh, come on, you got to stop this, because you do that for 2 weeks and then you're down for 2 weeks trying to figure out what really is the problem and all the collateral damage you ignored along the way. That was a tough lesson to get across when the management team was basically saying, run it. And we've talked about that before.
Yes, we have. Now, something just popped in my mind. When I started really diving into metrics and trying to understand metrics, now this is going back a while, but I found online, and I don't know if it's still there, but there is a metric guideline from the U.S. Air Force on this exact topic. So how do you measure availability, performance, all these different things on aircraft?
Oh, cool.
And that was available online in a PDF. And it was a large document, but mm-hmm. it covered all the different metrics for performance on aircraft, from a maintainability standpoint, a reliability standpoint, a readiness standpoint, all those different things. Mm-hmm. So that might be worthwhile seeing if we can find and link in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll see what I can track that down. Now, if it's just riddled with MTBF type stuff, then I might dissuade people from using it. But I think the Air Force has done a good job over the years of thinking through those kinds of topics. They've gotten away some, not as much as I'd like, but got away some from using just MTBF.
Yes. I'm pretty sure I have a hard copy of the PDF, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I can share that. So I will go see if I can find the link for you today.
Okay. Well, one of the benefits of a lot of these military standards and stuff is they're public domain documents. So if you do have a copy or complaint, point me to it. I'll add it to the notes. If not, we'll just provide enough details here in our discussion so that people can go track it down. But yeah, let's see if we can get a link to it. Well, that's cool. You know, now I have to remember who asked me that question and send them a link to our podcast so that they get a longer discussion. But it's one of those things that we get questions all the time, right? And I know you do too, James. And it's often a source of what we want to write about or talk about. So I'm going to ask our audience, you know, if you get a question or a topic like this, you know, we'll try to answer it as best we can and get you on your way. But realize that the trade-off is it might be a better answer might be in a discussion. So subscribe to our podcast and stay up with all the other questions that we're receiving and talking about. But you can do that heading over to reliability.fm, and there's comment fields and a suggestion box and all kinds of ways for you to get in touch with us. and we'd love to hear from you. So with that, James, I think we'll wrap this one up and look for some more questions.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, Fred. Pleasure to be here. And hopefully we were able to answer some of the listener questions.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Great. Thanks, James.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.